Welcome to The Healthy Leadership Mentor, a podcast hosted by Andrew Gray. Andrew has over 25 years' experience as a business owner, not-for-profit leader, keynote speaker, mentor, and consultant. On the show, Andrew talks everything related to leadership, high-performance psychology, and inner-life health for leaders in the world of business, sport, not-for-profit, politics, and media. With a tertiary background in sports psychology and a multi-decade career developing healthy, high-performance leaders, Andrew is ready to empower your path towards a healthy and fruitful life. Let's go to today's episode.
Welcome back to the podcast, everybody. My name is Andrew Gray, Healthy Leadership Mentor. I'm so excited to be back with you for a brand new season. Today, we're kicking off a new season that I'm calling If I Were, I Would. If I were, I would. Now, what does that mean, you say? Well, basically, in this season, I'm going to take 5 episodes to talk about what I would do if I held certain positions of influence. We've often, many of us, imagined and thought about what would I do if I was in that role or a particular space or context. Well, I want to actually take that idea and bring it into this season of If I Were, I Would. We're going to take a look at 5 important positions that carry influence in society and see if we can't unpack what we collectively think could be done better and how we would go about things. So the first one we're going to look at is the role of prime minister, the leader of the country. Then we're going to look at the role of a famous athlete, you know, perhaps a footballer or a basketball player, someone who has high profile in the community. The third role that we're going to look at is that of a celebrity artist, maybe an actor or a musician or a singer, somebody like that. The fourth one, the Minister for Education, will be the role that we take a look at there in episode 4. And then lastly, we're going to look at the role of CEO of a large company, such as a bank or a mining company or a tech company. Take a look at all of those positions. And if I were in that role, I would do a certain list of things. Now, the question has to be asked, why am I doing a season like this? And really what it comes down to is the fact that I believe there are many, many people who they will agree with some of the thoughts that I'm going to share. Now, there'll be people who disagree, and that's perfectly fine as well. But I have a sense that there is a need to give a collective voice, a collective microphone, as it were, to those who feel voiceless, that we are watching these roles in society, and perhaps we are concluding together that they could be done a lot better and better outcomes and better results. And so we're going to take a look at that, hopefully get in touch with the idea of bringing some more common sense to what goes on in these roles. And then, of course, trying to profile some more responsibility and accountability. Of course, that's coming from the notion that if you've got this position of influence, you really should be striving your best to do a great job in that role because of the impact that you can have on so many people. And so that's what we want to do. Take a look at those positions. If I were in that role, I would ... and look at some of those things that we would potentially do in that role. Of course, the big caveat over all of this is the fact that I know I haven't walked a mile in the shoes of these people, so to speak, and so I'm bearing that in mind that I don't actually know what it is to have their role. However, that's not really the point of doing this season. The point of doing this season is to imagine and role play and get into the idea of if I did walk in their shoes, I would try to do the things that I'm going to list out. So we are keeping in mind the fact that I and most of you listening and watching haven't been in these roles. However, that doesn't prohibit us from taking a look at what we think we would try to do if we were in those roles. So with that in mind, let's dive into today's episode and the subject matter that is, if I were the Prime Minister of Australia, I would. We're going to get right into it with point number one. If I were the Prime Minister of Australia, number one, I would immediately put my main focus on dealing with the cost of living crisis. Everybody who is paying attention, listening to the radio, watching the news, having conversations at work, everybody with any measure of common sense can see that in Australia right now, we are in a cost of living crisis. Prices for groceries, fuel, energy, everyday items, school fees, mortgage payments, rent payments, everything has gone through the roof, particularly since we've come out of the back end of the COVID era. We are living in a cost of living crisis in our country. And sadly, we don't appear to see enough action going on from those who are leading the nation, those who've got the responsibility to do so. So if I were the Prime Minister of Australia right now, my main focus would be on dealing with the cost of living crisis, putting my energy, getting the best brains, the best minds I could in the room to strategize and work out practical solutions to actually do something about it and get those costs down. The fact of the matter is, everyday Australians are struggling. Everyday Australians are battling hardcore with trying to deal with the cost, and we don't really do well with watching our leaders, our politicians, and others behaving in a way and speaking in a way as if they are immune or inoculated from the truth about how people are really living. We need leaders right now who will pay attention to the real issues and the things that are hurting everyday Australians, the majority of Australians, which is the cost of living crisis. Number two, if I were the Prime Minister of Australia, I would stop travelling the world and stay home to do my job. Now, look, I accept the fact that as a leader of a country, there's a certain amount of global relationships that have to be built for the betterment of each nation and each economy and all the rest of that. I do understand that. However, when you have the leader of a nation who is spending close to 60% of his time abroad, it doesn't even get close to passing the pub test. The man who is leading our nation right now is spending so much time overseas, in America, in Europe, in Asia, in China, in recent times, all over the place. And as I said, these relationships are definitely important. However, when you are spending more of your time out of the country than you are in, how is it possible that you can do your job effectively of leading the nation? If I were in the role, I would stop traveling the world so much, get busy and focused on staying at home and doing the job that the people who voted you into power need you to do. It's interesting. My views today are not in the direction of for Labor or for Liberal or against Labor or against Liberal. I'm completely ambivalent about which party is leading the country in the context of this episode. I'm simply critiquing what we see going on in front of our very eyes. And so this is not about a party preference. This is about observing the obvious facts of what we see going on in our leadership. We need our Prime Minister, we need our politicians to stay home and do the job that they're supposed to be doing. Number three, if I were the Prime Minister of Australia, I would get smart about our energy problems and break ties with the climate cult. All right, let's break this one down real fast. One of the biggest problems we're having in Australia right now is the cost of energy. And the craziness of that is we are one of the most energy-rich nations on the planet. We have all of the resources we could possibly need to power our residential world, our manufacturing world, our corporate world, every part of our society that requires energy needs right now. We have more than ample to supply our needs, and yet we are paying some of the highest prices in the OECD. Our energy costs keep going through the roof. Raises in prices keep getting approved by the regulators. It's mental. Right now in Australia, whether we like it or not, whether you stand in favour of climate change or you're against climate change, the fact of the matter is that two-thirds, in fact, 67% of our energy needs are currently met by coal. About 10% is met by gas, and the remaining 20-odd percent is met by renewable energies. Now, I am not for or against renewable energy. I am not for or against fossil fuel. What I am for is for using our brains to do things wisely so that we don't run ourselves into the ground and not be able to actually function in our daily lives, paying our bills, carrying on our businesses, and doing what we need to do. If it's possible to achieve a national energy grid that is totally powered by renewable energies in the future, so be it. I don't think anybody really cares where the energy comes from as much as we need to make sure we've got reliable energy. And in order to do this, we've got to break ties with this climate cult. As I said, whether you believe in climate change or not is not really the issue for today's episode. What we're trying to say is that if we are constantly handcuffing ourselves and bonding ourselves to the notion that we can change the climate by simply changing a few simple little policies, and our trade-off for that is that we can't even power our lifestyle and pay our bills, it's a crazy notion. If I were the Prime Minister, I would immediately break ties with the fanatical, radical obsession with climate change and do some smart policy, take care of our energy needs, which should be very, very easy to do in our country. Number four, if I were the Prime Minister of Australia, I would stop pursuing my own pet projects and deliver what the nation needs and wants. What am I saying here? We don't need more prime ministers and more politicians who, when they get to power, think it's their opportunity to start going after projects that will ensure their own legacy. We are tired of legacy politics. Do the job that is in response to the needs and wants of everyday Australians. Away with pet projects, I say. Number five, if I were the Prime Minister of Australia, I would govern and make decisions first for the majority. Now, it's crazy that it sounds like a crazy notion to suggest such a thing, but we have gone so far into the extreme zone of trying to write policies for minority groups that we are actually cultivating a society where it's better to be a minority group because there's more funding and more grants available and more attention available. The old adage is true, the squeaky wheel gets the grease. But in fact, unless somebody makes some kind of major change or announcement, the last time I checked, we were living and functioning in a country that is run by a democracy. At its very heart, the definition of a democratic society is that those who have the majority vote get the majority say. If I were the Prime Minister of Australia, I would start leading and making decisions first for the majority, and then, of course, do the very best in our policies to take care of any real minority groups so that nobody misses out. However, if there's a trade-off between decisions that favour the minority versus the majority, the decision has to be made in favour of the majority. That's what a democratic election is actually all about. Number six, if I were the Prime Minister of Australia, I would legislate to remove all parliamentary pensions. We have to do away with this notion that just because you serve in a parliament house somewhere in the country, that when you retire, you have earned and you deserve hundreds of thousands of taxpayer dollars for the rest of your living days at the expense of the country. This is wild. Nobody else in the country gets this provision. And if we are seriously suggesting and considering that to be in politics is a role of serving the community, then let it be service. I'm not suggesting that these roles aren't highly pressured. They are. But nobody is forcing someone to go into politics. If you choose it, you should choose it to serve. People are well remunerated when they are in those roles. And when they finish in that role, I have no problem with them being thanked, especially if they do a good job. However, this idea that the taxpayer should foot the bill for decades and decades of parliamentary pension is utterly, utterly ridiculous. If I were the Prime Minister, I would do away with the wastage of that. I would legislate against parliamentary pension to the extent that I would be the first to put my hand up and say, I don't want to take one. It's ridiculous. It's out of whack. It's out of balance. And everyday Australians should not be required to cop that in any way, shape, or form. Number seven of 10. Number seven, if I were the Prime Minister of Australia, I would talk like a real person and not a professional politician. If you've watched any of the question times on TV or heard them on the radio, we have a parliament full of people that sound like robots with cliches, adages, special tones, special language. These people don't sound like us. We need people leading us who sound like us. If I were the Prime Minister of Australia, I would talk like a real person instead of all this political speak with code and camouflage and subterfuge and all the rest that goes on. It's not helping people in these roles to gain the respect of the people that they're leading. Talk like a real person, not a professional politician. When you behave and talk like a professional politician, it just increases the distance between you and the person you're supposed to be serving. Number eight, I would spend more time in regional areas. Why? The regional areas of our country carry such an important part of the heartbeat of our identity. Small towns are where we get in touch with the value set that we want to live for and we want to believe in. And we cannot afford just to take all of our ideology from the big cities, the inner city CBDs of our nation, where the viewpoints are very skewed at times and represent quite a small percentage of the nation, even though the population is large. We need to get more in touch with what's going on in our regional areas. Number nine, if I were the Prime Minister of Australia, I would cease taking directions from all unelected global agencies such as the World Economic Forum and others. All these unelected bodies should not have any impact on our sovereignty as a nation, and yet they do. We have leaders and governments who are so desperate to acquiesce to these bodies because of what they can provide as far as their reputation on a global stage. It's a nonsense. We cannot have these bodies in unelected places impacting our sovereignty and our policy making and hurting our own citizens with the decisions that they make. We have to do away with this curtsying to all of these foreign agencies and bodies that really have nothing to do with us and do not have our best interests at heart. Number 10, if I were the Prime Minister of Australia, I would require all new legislation to be filtered through the question of whether it is good for families or not. Whether you agree with it or not, regardless of what your experience may or may not be, families and the family unit are the backbone of our society. And if we start making policies that hurt families, we are hurting society and running ourselves towards destruction. I would require all new legislation at state and federal level to be pushed through the filter and the lens, the test, if you like, of whether it's good or not for families. And if it's not, it shouldn't pass. We have to do policy making that strengthens families without leaving anybody else behind. These things are achievable. These things are possible. These are just some of the things that I would do if I were the Prime Minister of Australia, or at least I would try. That's a very short episode to get us started in this season of If I Were, I Would. In next week's episode, I'm going to talk to the subject of If I Were a Famous Athlete, I Would. I hope you'll tune into that one as well. I'd love it if you could subscribe to the channel. Those of you who are watching on YouTube, click the like button, hit the notification bell, and definitely share with other friends who might get the conversation happening around this subject of If I Were, I Would. Also, you can subscribe to my newsletter, which is in the show notes below, and also check out more of what I provide and do through my business, APG Elite. Thanks so much for listening. Thanks so much for viewing. Until next week, bye for now.
You have been listening to The Healthy Leadership Mentor with Andrew Gray. This episode was proudly sponsored by APG Elite, home of world-class mentoring, management, and consulting. Find out how APG Elite can help transform your organization by visiting apgelite.com.au. Or if you would like to subscribe to Andrew's weekly newsletter, you can do that by visiting andrew-gray.ck.page. For all other links, including Instagram and TikTok, see the show notes. Until next episode, thanks for tuning in.